The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
And now, nationally recognized financial experts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean Advisors. It's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you're here with us, both myself and my co-host. We're both financial advisors. We spend our weekdays working with people like yourself, helping them plan their financial future. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And for 20 years, we've been broadcasting out of Northern California, been financial advisors for over 25 years. And
work with people just like you?
Well, maybe just like you.
Pretty close.
We work with a lot of hardworking professionals that have been and help them to get towards retirement.
In retirement transition, how to manage the money, state issues, saving issues, distribution of income issues.
Yeah. And matter of fact, the transition into retirement is one of the...
It's stressful for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Very, very stressful. Some people take it really, really easy, and other people, oh my, very stressful.
Yeah. And we are having some workshops, too. Now I kind of started thinking about
it. Oh, I forgot about those.
Yes. You forgot about them.
In the Bay Area and in Sacramento.
Yes. We've got a couple fantastic workshops that on retirement transition. As we're starting the program, just going to let people know that we do have, if you go to our website, moneymatters.com, which is always the best place to spend your time, it should just be your home screen. On moneymatters.com, we've got, you go there and you click on the workshops.
The workshops, and then if you want to have specific questions answered, you can click on the education part, and you can actually type in specific questions.
August 25th in Sacramento and August 26th in Walnut Creek. So on the August 25th, that's Tuesday the 25th, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and at 7 o'clock in Sacramento at the Downtown Citizen Hotel. And on August 26th, we're in Walnut Creek. That's Wednesday the 26th. At both 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock, Embassy Suites in Walnut Creek. For full information,
go to moneymatters.com.
You need to register. It's free, but you got to register. Moneymatters.com, and we get already sidetracked because I just started thinking about the workshops.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it's a website, moneymatters.com.
Both of us here, we've been financial advisors for a long time. We've been doing this program for a long time, helping folks for a long time. And the reason we're doing this workshop on retirement transition is just there's a lot of moving parts. You know what's funny, Pat? Here's what we found oftentimes. There are people that have don't really pay that close attention to their account. They don't have a thing that built on their phone where they check their stock values every day and add up their net worth on a daily basis. And they're pretty disciplined that maybe they'll look at their 401k once a quarter, or maybe they'll just do an annual review and look at everything then. But they don't freak out on day-to-day fluctuations or month-to-month or quarter-to-quarter. Good long-term view. They've got good risk tolerance. They're busy at their careers.
Making money, doing what they do.
Putting money into their savings. They yes. transition into retirement. It's a new deal. Now you're transitioning into retirement. Number one, you're not busy.
Yeah, you've got time.
60 hours a week or whatever.
You've got time to actually focus on that. And you worry more about it.
Yeah. So
because
you've
it becomes that much more important.
Yeah, it wasn't so important until you retired.
And
now
it is.
Retired.
You think about it. Retirement is a relatively new concept in the history of the world. It's less than 100 years old. The whole concept of retiring is less than 100 years. That you would store your labor in the form of capital by investing it or saving it and putting it someplace, and then withdraw that stored labor in the form of capital so that you don't have to work anymore. That's what retirement is. That's what retirement savings are. But it's a relatively new concept.
Well, because there's things such as Social Security, which really isn't stored.
Which is a relatively new concept in the history of the world.
Or pensions, where it's essentially literally no work. It's not like owning a farm where you got to check on your workers periodically, or owning some other thing.
A monthly pension, which are not extinct, but they're really, really close to being extinct.
Boy,
even for public workers.
And listen,
if you want to send me a nasty email for that opinion, you can. But if we come back 30 years from now, the idea of a monthly pension for someone that is entering the workforce will be unheard of.
Did you
regardless
see,
of, private or public sector.
There was an article the other day that said how much per in California per resident each resident's on the hook for unfunded pension obligations. It was like $4,500.
Yeah,
per resident. First of all, half the people don't have any money. My two teenagers don't have any money.
And Scott, the assumed rate of return on the PERS and STERS pensions are quite high right around 7%. The assumed rates of return.
7.5%.
So, well, they both have different assumed rates of PERS and STERS have different assumed rates of return. Right.
7.25, 7.5 or something.
Yeah. Like but the reality is when they're talking about unfunded liabilities, they're using a high expected return, which quite frankly, I don't believe is doable. Actually, most people in our industry don't believe that a 7.5% long-term rate of return going forward is
it may
likely.
Be, but
it's not likely.
You don't want to bet on that.
No.
It's always better to assume a low rate of return and then have more money than you need than assume a high rate of return. And
you're not telling people today that a retired to expect a 7% rate of return on their portfolios net of fees.
No.
Yeah.
I actually saw the other day, I read an article this morning, said something about financial advisor used a conservative 6% rate of return assumption. And I read that and I thought,
That's not conservative.
What year was this written?
What year
in
was
2015,
it?
2015, when the bank's paying you 0.02, the 10-year treasury is just over 2%.
Yeah, an assumption of 6% is not.
Historically, stocks pay 6 percentage points over a long period of time, 6 percentage points over that of the rate of inflation as a real return.
And the rate of inflation
is
right
almost
now.
Zero. So, I mean, I'm reading this thinking, I suppose that would work if you had 100% in
equities. But that's crazy. That makes no sense.
Yeah. So this is some financial advisor.
So back to the idea of retirement. It is it's difficult for many. And it can be one of the most traumatic parts of someone's life, or it could be the most comfortable thing in someone's life. It depends on how prepared they are.
It's amazing.
And their outlook as to if the more prepared you are going into it, the more comfortable it is. Versus one day you showing up to work and they're saying, time for you to leave.
And what it's funny. So Hanson McLean, we have about 4,000 clients. I don't know what number are retired, but a high percentage of them.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Probably 60-70% plus.
I don't know. Something like that. A lot of retired clients. So we've seen it all. There are some people, and from regardless of the finances, there are some people from a financial standpoint and from a retirement standpoint, they really enjoy retirement. They're comfortable with what they're doing. They enjoy life. They have an engaged, rich retirement. Rich, not financially. Rich as far
they're
as
they're busy.
Goes. There are others that it's a challenge for them. They lose their social interaction.
There's not enough for them to do.
They lose their sense of meaning and purpose.
Their relationships with their family or spouses become strained in retirement.
Because they, yeah. Yeah. Well, if you've ever taken a long vacation with your spouse, you can, it'll be interesting to see how it's going to work in the Hanson family. I'll tell you that much.
What is a long vacation? More than 3 days?
I think I say 3 weeks. I think I've never taken 3 weeks off. I've taken 2 weeks off.
3 days? 4 days? Oh, yeah.
But something on retirement. Last night I got together. I was with a couple. They were in their 70s, mid-70s. He's back working full-time, having a ball.
He wanted to go back to work.
Yeah, and he's having a ball. And the wife was saying just how much he's enjoying himself. He's hasn't had this much fun in a long time. In part because he feels like he's contributing. There's a lot of relationships that
he
hasn't had outside of that. And
and the wife's happy, and he's happy.
It's just, I was talking to him. I said, how long do you think you'll keep doing this? They said, well, they want me until at least the end of next year, so I'm not sure I'll do that or not. But as of right now, I'm having a good time.
Oh, good for him.
So, look, I guess the point is on retirement, it's every situation's unique there. But anyway, that's why we have these seven, our workshop. in Walnut Creek and in
or you could just view it on our website. There's a little webinar called Seven Personal Decision
Points. Yeah, but it's the live one's
it's
much better.
It's not nearly.
And we'll be there doing the workshop. Again, go to moneymatters.com for more information on that. If you'd like to be part of the program, you've got a question for us, and you want to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, the contact number to join the show is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Also, furthermore, if you're thinking, man, I'd like to ask these guys a question, but I don't want to
be on the air.
Go to our website, and you can talk. There's a little moneymatters.com. There's a little button, talk to Scott and Pat. You get enter your question there, and we might address it on the radio program that way. But we're happy to take and we've got a great program. When we come back from this break in a moment, I want to talk a little bit about Uber drivers and financial advisors, what they may or may not have in common. And, of course, we'll take your calls as well. Stick around. This is Hanson McLean.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McLean each weekend as they host Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McLean Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at moneymatters.com.
Want more advice on financial matters? Check out moneymatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments, all on moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining
That's
us.
That's right. If you want to be part of the show, 888-2-HANSON.
H-A-N-S-O-N. Or you can go to our website, moneymatters.com.
So we're about to go to the phones here. Start with Paul. Before we do that, there was a study that was done by Personal Capital that asked, it ranked different professions, asked what as far as trustworthiness.
Mm-hmm.
Asked about lawyers.
I read the article.
Financial advisors, Uber drivers. Uber drivers were more trusted than the typical financial advisor. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I think it's, I don't know what to think. I read the article.
What do you mean you don't know what to think?
I think that I think
people have good reason for not trusting a lot of financial advisors.
Oh, no, there's no question.
Many are not fiduciaries. They're not independent. They work for a big firm. They're not fiduciaries.
They're selling things.
Yeah. Selling commission.
But I don't know how much I should trust an Uber driver just because he's driving a white Camry.
You trust him with your life, don't you? I get into perfect strangers' automobiles using Uber. I punch a little something on my cell phone. The next thing I know, I get a text and here comes a car. And it looks like the car and the text. And I get in and they're going 70 miles an hour down the freeway. My life is completely entrusted upon this stranger.
Okay.
All right, whatever. That's enough of that stupid thing.
Actually, I got to tell you, it will be interesting to watch just not Uber, but what they call the shared services economy develop under labor laws.
They don't fit into labor laws.
They don't fit under labor laws.
We've already seen button heads, big one, of course, in New York City recently between Uber. But there's a lot of these sort of
Nevada
things.
Doesn't allow them. Spain, no.
Well, Spain.
They were in Spain, and the cab drivers actually in the city of Madrid went on a 1 week shutdown. They stopped driving all cabs for a week in Madrid until Uber was thrown out.
They'll be back.
They will be back.
You can only fight these things so long. All right, let's take some calls here. Let's talk to Paul. Paul, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello, Paul.
Yes. How you doing?
Hi, Paul.
Great. I'm ready for questions.
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Wait, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
No, that's all good.
I have a question. If you are 27 years old, Mel, you are putting money in your 401k plan. When you put the money in the 401k plan, normally you don't have to pay any taxes. What's the best way to do it? Whether we should pay taxes before that, before pay taxes, and then because you're not going to touch that money for next 30 years, and it's going to grow, and you're going to pay taxes when you're retired as you're either 57 and half 58, and you're going to get the money out. So what is the best way to do it?
So here's essentially the question, which is, to sum the question up, do you make a Roth contribution to your 401k,
or do you make a deductible contribution? So 401k, if you do a good job saving, you work hard, you're young, you maximize your 401k, you get the company match, you do everything you're supposed to do, you monitor correctly, you get retirement, you've done a good job saving, you're at retirement ready, there's a good chance you'll be in a high tax bracket in retirement.
Yes.
Maybe even higher than the tax bracket you were in while you were working.
Yes.
So there's some talk, well, if that's the case, maybe the 401k is not a good place to be. And if, in fact, you know you'll be in a higher tax bracket in retirement, a traditional 401k would not be a good thing for you to take
advantage of. If you're going to move into a lower income tax state, it may make sense to put the maximum into your 401k. So the question is, to Roth or not to Roth?
But here's one thing I look at. Let's forget about a current tax savings for a moment. You take, someone's in a higher tax bracket. They use the 401k, traditional 401k to invest.
Okay.
Someone in a low tax bracket uses the Roth 401k to invest. Which one's doing the best thing?
It's a push.
Well, here's how I look at it. There's the concept of, here's the concept. And here's what people say. Well, you save money in taxes. So you the maximum you could put in is, what, 17,500?
Yeah, or a catch-up if you're over age 50.
So the maximum you can contribute is $17,500. You do a pre-tax 401k. You get to deduct that. Where's the extra tax savings go? Let's say you save $4,000
on taxes. You just defer it.
No, where's the money?
What do you mean? Oh, you spent it.
You spent it.
Yeah, you spent it.
You spent it. Most people,
yeah, and
spend the money.
So you look at that $17,000, $17,500 you put in. For most people, in an after-tax basis, when they go to retire, it's going to be worth around $11,000 or $12,000. The Roth, on the other hand, you put in $17,500. You don't get a tax deduction. You didn't spend it. You didn't spend the tax deduction. When you pull that $17,000 out, $17,500 plus its earnings, you get it all to spend. So, which is the best way to go?
For a lot of people, the Roth is.
But the reality is, Scott, the people that
and by the way,
are in the lowest tax bracket.
Majority of Americans are in a 15% federal bracket or less. The majority of Americans should be using a Roth 401k, not a traditional. Automatic.
But the majority of Americans don't save anything at all.
More important than should they be using this target date fund or that target date fund.
But
more important.
Scott, if you're in a 15% tax bracket, chances are you're not saving.
Well, you're not saving 17.5.
You're not. Chances are you're not saving a lot towards retirement. So the answer to Paul's question is, which is the right way to go?
I would use the Roth.
Or I would use a combination of the two. I would use maybe half Roth, half 401k deductible. That way you actually give yourself choices when you go to make with the withdrawal.
Well, if in a perfect world, when you get to retirement, you've got many different types of buckets to draw upon. You've got some money in a tax-deferred IRA that's all taxable. You have some money in a Roth. You have some money in a savings account. You have some money in brokerage account.
You have some money in stock. You have some money in bonds.
You've got a big diverse, not only diverse as far as your investments, but diverse as far as your tax structure. We find those people that hit retirement that have that kind of diversity with their tax structure as well just have so many more options when it comes to retirement. It's easy for them when they say, okay, well, I need X dollars per month to make my living expenses, and every 5 years you need $30,000 for a car. It's easy to go figure out where those dollars are to come from, or $40,000, or if you're going to be part of the green team and drive a Tesla, $100,000 for a car, whatever the number is, right? So if you can have more of a diverse structure as far as your taxes. So I think, Paul, I would agree with Pat. Let's kind of, looking at doing both things is probably the best. Both a pre-tax 401k as well as an after-tax 401k. 1-888-2-HANSEN to join the program. We're talking with Will. Will, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Will.
Hey, I'm calling with more of a general question rather than like a specific plea for help necessarily.
Okay.
So I listen whenever I can when I'm driving around for work. I'm 19 years old. I go to college in California, a small little private school. I'm studying business.
Where? What school?
I go to St. Mary's.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah. That is a nice campus.
Truly beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. Don't be in the 5 or 6 year plan there because
no hurry.
I just remember going to the
and your
the
parents campus. Love nothing more than to have you in college as long as possible.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh yeah, of course. but actually, on that note, I'm listen a lot, and I hear a lot of different people coming in and talking to you guys, and every now and then there's that one like a couple or business owner, and they talk to you and they ask for advice, and you get to tell them we don't need to give you much advice because you're doing things really right, and you're one of the lucky ones that kind of knows what they're doing. So I kind of want to know what tips or advice or recommendations could you give someone who is just now beginning to kind of learn all this stuff so that when they're beginning to make their way in the business world or as a grown-up, quote, what they can do to kind of settle themselves in and have a comfortable life moving towards retirement.
You're fine, son.
That's exactly.
You're fine. The mere fact that you're mature enough to ask the question.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was thinking.
I didn't ask that question when I was 19, did you?
Holy smokes.
Holy criminy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now here, so
I hope I'm retired by the time he enters the workforce. You're going to eat my lunch.
So here's you're going to make your any wealth is going to be created not by saving, not by picking the right stock, the right mutual fund, the right financial advisor. Wealth will be created based upon your career, Will. Whether that career is you are a very talented employee at a large firm where you make great results and you get promoted and you get stock options, that sort of thing, or it's through a company that you found or
whatever you happen to do.
It's in your career. You can become excellent and expert at something, and you create a lot of value. That's where you create wealth. You'll store that wealth by investing in mutual funds, ETFs, seeing a financial
invest
advisor.
In portfolios, 401ks, that sort of thing. So the advice that I give my son, who is your age, he's studying business in, that's what he's going to college to study business. I think there's a lot of snowboarding that goes on. He's in Denver.
Lucky him.
is don't be afraid to take creative classes that are outside the scope of business, because the best business people, people that have built substantial practices either in law or in commerce, have a creative view of the world. And so when you're studying business, I studied business, it was all focused on the accounting and the finance and the marketing and the computer systems, right?
But
which are great, right? But it's the creative way of viewing a business, which is why this? Why are we doing it like this? And read some great autobiographies. I mean, read as many as you can. Obviously read Steve Jobs' biography. Read some ones from years past so you get a perspective. But you're fine. You're
and
fine.
Then save once you get your first job, save 10% of your income.
Yeah.
If 10% rule of thumb,
and actually,
save 10%.
If you're making money now, save it. Save some money.
Yeah.
Because you might need that capital.
So a question about that is do you just recommend just like a very simple calculate it myself and shift it into just a normal bank savings account, or should I actually work towards opening some sort of
I'd use a Roth
IRA or something?
If you have earned income, I'd use a Roth IRA.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and, you can always pull out your deposits without any tax circumstances whatsoever. But if you don't need it, it can be a good way to get started, you know, ahead of time for retirement.
Yeah.
Okay, and is there a place to do that? Honestly, I literally don't know where.
Oh yeah, you could go. You could go to
one
online,
of the big no load mutual fund companies.
Yeah, and just buy the total market.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and if you don't have enough money for the total market, because I set up a Roth for my daughter, didn't have enough money for the total market. I used a target date 2070 or something like that,
which is basically the total market.
U.S. and foreign. It was actually a little bit.
Just out of curiosity, what high school did you go to?
I went to Willow Glen High School in San Jose.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
St. Mary's, beautiful school. Keep up the studies.
Yeah.
And try to graduate in 4 years.
I'm going to.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the call.
That guy's going to be fine.
You know,
we need more millennials like Will.
I tell you, we have a lot of college grads that work at our firm, and I'm impressed.
Yeah, I don't know why they get a bad rep.
Most of the people who work at our firm are college grads, but these are new college grads.
Okay, we need to take a quick break. This is Hanson McLean. Stick around for more.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, visit moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Are you as confident as you should be when it comes to your finances? Do you feel that you're on track to accomplish your goals? If not, you owe it to yourself to take a look at Hanson McLean Advisors. Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, founded Hanson McLean Advisors over 20 years ago to help people make wise choices with their money. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under the hood. And there are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place. Plus, unlike many investment firms, there is a high level of communication keeping you informed and up to date. With offices in Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be of benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSON or moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Hi everyone, this is John Coyne, producer of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Thanks for being one of our loyal podcast listeners. Did you know that you can still be on the show and have your financial questions answered? Simply go to moneymatters.com, click on the big orange button that says Ask Scott and Pat a Question. I'll personally contact you and schedule a time to have you on one of our upcoming shows. We can't wait to help you.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. I really liked that last call that we had. Will, college, 20-year-old college student, studying business. Pretty mature. Like, what
should
I do?
Sounds like your 19-year-old son.
My 19-year-old son is actually pretty motivated. Pretty motivated kid. He's in Spain right now. He's studying in
España.
He took an immersion class in Spain for a month. So he moved in with a family.
Your son's living in Spain
for a month, and he's worth two classes college credit. He's getting a minor in Spanish. I didn't know that.
¿Cómo? That's bad.
That's terrible. He hates it when I try to talk Spanish. Hates it.
Well, you're probably horrible at it.
I am awful at it.
I had a tree trimming business when I was a young man. 5 years I did tree trimming, getting my way through college and stuff. And I had
little Scott Hanson climbing up a tree.
That was me. And I employed some people that did not speak English, and it was quite comical trying to communicate with the.
Yeah, they probably understood perfect English.
Just like playing. Just messing with me.
They would go, okay? after work, they're after work, they're like, check out that Hanson.
Yeah. How come you guys didn't finish the job? Well, I didn't know. I didn't understand. No comprende. Yeah.
Anyway.
We think we're funny. Hey, wait, before we go back to the calls here, I want to remind our listeners, we've got a workshop, 7 Personal Decision Points for Retirement Transition. If you're within a couple years of retirement, you'll want to come to this workshop. We have it in both Sacramento and in Walnut Creek, Bay Area. So on Tuesday, August 25th, We're going to be downtown Sacramento, Citizen Hotel, at both 1 p.m. and 7 p.m., so whatever time is best for you. And on Wednesday, August 26th, we'll be in Walnut Creek at the Embassy Suites, both 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. So,
and no charge, but you do need to register.
I think it's a bit of a unique kind of workshop. If you've been to others and you're within a couple years of retirement or about to retire, you really it's going to be worth your while.
It's informational.
Yeah.
There's no products offered. We're not trying to sell anything there. We're just explaining this concept. Obviously, we want clients because we're a business.
We don't sell things.
But we
anyway.
Don't sell
we're
things.
A fee-based investment advisory firm. So our clients are long-term
relationships.
Yeah, we have a vested interest in their success. We don't have a vested
It's not transactional in
pitching
nature.
A product to them or whatever, for crying out loud. So anyway, to be part of the
program, which is actually part of the problem in our industry, which is the average consumer can't tell the difference, nor do the people that are commission-based or brokerage firms try to explain the difference.
Well, it's not in their vested interest to explain that there might be some shortcomings with their approach.
Yes, versus the fiduciary.
Yeah, it is an interesting...
And it's being kicked around Congress.
So we were talking about Roth and non-Roth before, so let's continue this right now. Let's talk with Mick. Mick, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, Pat and Scott. This is Mick.
Hi, Mick. Thanks for being part of the program.
So I have a question about what you were just talking about, the Roth IRAs and converting from like your former 403B to an IRA. So I guess it's like so the situation is, I was told by Fidelity that since I've converted my non-deductible IRAs to Roth IRAs, that when I retire, when I take any money out of any Roth, they'll be sort of doing it on a percentage basis, that I can't just take money out of a Roth and give it here and there, belong to my Roth money. So I was wondering, is it better just to keep that money in my 401k so it stays in the 401k fence, or to move it over to a Roth? I mean,
So were you under the understanding that any withdrawal you take from your Roth will be prorated some from your regular, or that if you do any more conversion?
Yeah, but the implication is when I retired, that if I took any money out of any IRA, that it'd be prorated.
Nope, that's
is that
wrong.
True?
That's wrong.
Nope,
that's wrong.
But
what you said was interesting, which is there may have been some confusion. I hope there was confusion and they weren't giving bad advice, which is the non-deductible IRAs that you converted to a Roth.
Right.
That is on a pro rata basis.
What do you mean by that?
So let's back up. So and you probably contributed to IRAs years ago, non-deductible, back in the 80s, 90s, through a credit union or something like that, I'm guessing.
Right.
Because it's pretty common.
Through Vanguard, yeah.
Okay. So you have, and your tax return, every year on your tax return, you would file a form that would actually list essentially your cost basis in your IRA, because let's say you put in 20 grand and didn't take a tax deduction over the years, and you add $100,000 in your IRAs, $20,000 of your IRAs has already been taxed.
So you don't want to pay taxes on it again, which is why you track the cost basis.
So if you, at that time, let's forget about the Roth for a minute, just kind of follow along this path. If you have a $100,000 IRA balance, $20,000 were your after-tax contribution, and you say, hey, I want to withdraw $20,000, they'll send you 20 grand, and for tax purposes, 20% of that will be tax-free, a return of your cost basis, and 80% will be taxable, essentially the tax-deferred earnings on that.
That is your non-deductible IRAs.
But
you converted your non-deductible IRAs to a Roth, correct?
Right, correct.
And did you convert all of them?
Yes.
Okay, well then you don't have a problem.
I did it when the market was really low, so I didn't have very many taxes to pay.
So you no longer have any non-deductible.
Yeah, and so what happens is...
But I do have money from old 403Bs, from old employers.
Is it a 403B or an IRA?
It's a 403B that I want to move in to an IRA, but I was cautious to do that because I was worried then that when I took the money out of the Roth, half tax.
Two completely different things.
Yeah.
So when you go to make the withdrawal, you decide whether I'm going to take it from the Roth or whether I'm going to take it from an IRA. They don't affect each other at all.
The Roth is 100% tax-free, assuming it's been 5 years. 100% tax-free, and you're assuming you're over 59 and a half. You take money from a 403B, it's fully taxable to you. You roll the money from a 403B to an IRA. When you withdraw from that IRA, that will be fully taxable to you. If you take money, if you say this year I'm not going to take any money from my IRA, only the Roth, it'll be completely tax-free.
So that's the answer to the question. Let's ask you a question, which is, on your 403B, where are those dollars invested?
60% stocks, 40% bonds, and cash.
Is it an annuity, or is it directly with a mutual fund company?
No. I was the one that pushed Sutter to get rid of the annuity.
Got it. So
it's all Fidelity.
Got it. So you have
index funds.
Got it. So there's no benefit in you moving that 403B to an IRA. You have more liquidity options leaving it in a 403B than you do in an IRA.
Loan provision, you mean?
Yeah. But you may not need it. My guess is you probably will never take a loan against it.
Oh, yeah. And I'm outside of that employer. I mean, that's an old 403.
Yeah. Move it into an IRA.
Yeah. And I have more options of where I can put
that. That is correct.
So just putting it into like the bigger stock market, the Wilshire 5000 rather than the S&P 500.
Yeah, you can have it. Move 403B.
Any way you want.
Self-directed IRA.
Yeah, so roll that 403B to an IRA, and remember the Roth and the IRA don't affect each other at all.
So if I can have a year where I can take just money from the Roth and there's no taxes that year.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So whoever gave you that advice.
Either is a misunderstanding or it's bad advice.
Okay. And it may
or
have
it could have been a combination of the two.
That's right.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, it could have been. I misunderstood. That's fine. Okay. That's good news. And I guess I'm just beginning to think about, I've been spending a lot of time saving this money over many years. How do you withdraw the money?
So I'm going to do a plug, shameless plug. We have the 7 personal decision points of retirement transition workshop coming up in Sacramento in the end of the month. It's perfect for you. Are you retired?
Okay.
Are you?
No, I'm 58.
So you're going to retire in the next few years.
But I'm planning for,
come to this workshop.
MoneyMatters.com has the details. But here's the thing.
Appreciate
the call. It sounds like you've done the right things as far as having money in IRAs, Roth. At retirement time, the trick is you might have some money from a pension, some money from Social Security, some money from an IRA, some from a brokerage account.
When do I take it? Do I start on Social Security? Do I take the Roth?
The challenge is, truly, every situation is unique. So there are some clients we say, look, we want you to take money from your IRA only. Don't touch the Roth. Don't touch your brokerage accounts. There's some we say, don't touch your IRA. Spend down from your brokerage accounts. There's some that we say, take some from your brokerage, some from your IRA. There's some that we say, take some from your Roth, some from your brokerage. I mean, every situation's unique. A lot of it is dependent upon the size of the accounts relative to one another. And what your current tax situation's like, what's the future tax situation like, what's your estate plan like, where's the money going to go? I mean, there's a lot of factors that play into it. Fortunately, during retirement, you can decide each year how you want to take distributions.
With the exception of Social Security.
With the exception of Social Security. So, I mean, that's the benefit. During retirement, you can say, I'm going to have some from here and some from here. Next year, you can change things up. We're taking a quick break. To join Hanson McLean, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Can't always catch Money Matters on the radio each week? Get a podcast of the show delivered to your device every week. Visit moneymatters.com.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McLean each weekend as they host Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McLean Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at moneymatters.com.
Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for
sticking with us.
Yeah.
I saw an article, Pat. And this is actually, we had a young man call earlier in the program, Will, 19-year-old industrious young man.
St. Mary's student?
Millennial. The study on millennials on their savings. They're actually, they're pretty good savers. 85, the study that was done, 85% of them were saving.
I believe that. I absolutely believe that. Based on the conversations I have with my nephews and nieces.
Yeah. 85% of them saving. Not my daughter, but.
They're all different. I've got four kids. They're all different.
Man, it can't last 2 minutes in her
bed. We could argue nature or nurture all day.
Well, it's interesting on that, Pat. Swing back for that for a second. 85% of millennials are saving. Only 26% have any money in stocks or stock mutual funds.
A lot of distrust.
It's exactly right.
A lot of distrust.
So this new generation is thinking, you know, I don't know about this whole financial game. Why don't I just keep, I'm going to be real, play it real safe. That's fine for money that you're going to be spending next year.
And they might be spending it next year.
That is not fine for retirement savings.
And, but you think about a millennial.
An IRA or 401k.
They know that their job is probably not long term, that they're going to be moving careers.
Yeah.
Versus most certainly your parents, who would typically stay with one company.
My
many,
dad?
Many. Your mom and your stepfather.
Okay, thank you. Do you remember what I told you about the Hanson family?
I love your dad.
No. I mean, someone started the workforce today. They say it's going to have 11 employers by the time they retire.
Yeah.
That's just a different thing. But on your point, nature versus nurture. And here's why it's important for yourself. Some of us are just have a hard time saving. We get money. We want to spend it. Others have a hard time spending it. Always want to save it. When you understand what your bent is, it's important to design some things around that.
Yes.
No, just like in every other discipline in your life, whether it's diet or exercise or sleep or drinking or whatever the case may
You've
be.
You've got to understand yourself and then
And then put some parameters around that, right?
Some guardrails.
Yeah. And it could be if you are one that isn't like saving, is having that 401k automatically taken out. If you don't have that, have something sucked out of your savings account every month.
And it's not savings if you don't own it by the end of the year, which is if you take $1,000 a month, put it in a savings account at the end of the year, there's no money in that savings account because you spent it. That's not saving.
So 888-2-HANSON to join the program. We're talking with Mark. Mark, welcome to Hanson McLean.
Hi, this is Mark. Are you with me?
Yes, sir. Thanks for joining the program.
Hey, thanks. Enjoy your lively presentation there. Here's the issue.
Are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Better?
Yeah, please. Thank you. Did we lose him?
Is this better?
Oh, yes, yeah, much better.
So, okay, thanks. Okay, so I'm concerned about my mother. She's about 80 years old, and she doesn't have a lot of income. But she's been investing in high income. She was in oil for a long time, getting a good returns on it. And she had about a drop in her portfolio from about 350 or so in the last year to about 250.
Oh.
So she continued to get the high yield, but she had a significant loss in her principal. And at 80, she's not going to make that money up.
What did she own that caused this drop in the portfolio?
I'm not sure. She's out of it now because of some stop loss orders cashed her out. Okay. So I said, Mom,
Just trying to get a better understanding. Has she been working with a broker for a number of years?
Or is she doing it herself?
A friend of hers.
And how long has this friend of hers been helping her?
I don't know if 20 years.
And is this friend being compensated for this help?
No.
That is a substantial loss.
Yeah, it is.
What was her saving? How much did she have 5 years ago?
I don't know all the details. She was pulling out about $1,300 to $1,400 a month out of this portfolio, and it was maintaining its balance.
Yeah, well, that is $1,400 a month, $1,500 a month, $18,000 was about a 4.5% distribution on $350,000. Absolutely realistic, especially with an 80-year-old.
So, did she have 5 years ago? Did she have $350 or did she have $250? In other words, we're trying to.
No, she probably had about $400, $350, $400.
Okay. So.
So what's your thought?
So my question is, the market has been volatile. She dropped this money. That money's not coming back easily.
I don't know what it was in. It wasn't in the broad market. It wasn't in a diversified portfolio.
No, it wasn't diversified. So my question is, being that she doesn't know her life expectancy of 10 years, according to the table, she wants her money to last. I said, why don't you take half that money and put it in an immediate annuity in something like AARP New York Life, and they will pay her for she'll be getting $1,000 a month from that.
What? Immediate annuity sometimes makes sense. You could either buy a commercial annuity through an insurance company like that, or you can buy one through a nonprofit like Salvation Army or the Red Cross or something. I don't know if the Red Cross has.
That's a gift annuity.
I know, but it's still a lifetime income you can get. But the question: what income does she have now?
So Social Security and some real estate rental.
And how much income does she need?
She's looking to get at least $1,000 a month.
Is that what she needs?
I think she needs about $1,500, but she said she could live on $1,000 income.
And how's her health?
Not so good.
I don't know. I don't know whether I would buy half of an immediate annuity or not.
Buy any. You would not if you're 80-year-old mother.
I would not. I don't know if I would be opposed to just putting it in the bank and drawing down principal.
Like a certificate deposit kind of thing.
The fact is, she's had some market experience with. If you put this portfolio on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most aggressive and 1 being the most conservative, she's been at 10.
Yeah, she has.
So how about?
I agree.
What if you had a really broadly diversified portfolio
and brought the risk to a three or a four? I agree with you, Scott. And was she comfortable with the portfolio?
When it was going up, she was.
Well, everyone is. Everyone is.
That's funny. If it were my 80-year-old mother, look, if you said she's in the most phenomenal health, everyone in my family has lived to 105, she's going to live forever, she's unbelievably strong health-wise. The thing about immediate annuities, they do not do medical underwriting. Unlike life insurance, you go to buy life insurance, they do all these tests, and they say, whoa, this person's going to die young, let's charge them extra, right? They don't do that with annuities. So if you're in great health, you're in an advantage. Go out and buy this immediate annuity.
And if you're in poor health, you're not. So I agree with Scott. I think that I would actually build a moderate portfolio and put it in there. And maybe you use an investment advisor and you pay someone for their expertise and it's a fee-based investment advisor. Maybe she has no risk tolerance left.
S&P 500 index?
No, that's too aggressive. Yeah, it's too aggressive.
I mean, for 5% of her, 10% of her portfolio might be fine.
Yeah.
But ideally, you'd have a broad, for example, the kind of portfolios, I'm not trying to do a plug just for our firm, but the kind of portfolios that Hanson McLean does and other good fee-based investment advisory firms, there would be a variety of different holdings. There might be some portion in S&P 500. There'd be some fixed income in there. There'd be some very conservative type portfolio pieces to the portfolio, a broad, diversified portfolio. And then you could set it up so that it sends her a check each month for $1,500.
Regardless of the account size.
And regardless of how the account does, you mean, right?
So, okay, correct.
So design the portfolio for total return, a check sent to each month.
I would not buy an immediate annuity, especially with the fact that you said her health is not all that great. And it's weird that insurance companies don't medically underwrite.
I don't know why they don't.
Annuities, but they don't. So although there are some that have started medically underwriting annuities. But that being said, I think a moderate portfolio, and if she says, absolutely no, I don't want any risk whatsoever, I can't live with it. I would just put it in a bank account and draw down principal.
I would too. Because when you buy an immediate annuity, you're giving up.
That's what
you're
talking
about, giving up half your principal.
That's what you've done, is you've given up principal.
Okay, well, that helps. Thank
all right.
you.
Appreciate
all right,
the call.
Yeah, good luck to you on that. And it's it's never an easy time. And sometimes it's the challenge could be, oftentimes we see as aging parents, you're stepping in trying to help them, and the emotions that can come along with it. And it's not just investing. It could be just paying the bills, too. Well,
yeah, it could be any part of it, right?
Or anything for that matter. But it's just one more thing.
It could be the siblings arguing over the care or who's got to contribute or how much time is being spent.
You mean like the text my wife received last night from one family member because of another family member caring for a loved one? And it was, yeah.
Yeah, like that.
Not to call out my wife's family. I'm just, I guess I did. Oops.
Well, fortunately, she doesn't listen to the show. Does she?
I don't know. If she, you're listening, I love you, babe.
Too late.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, it is definitely a challenge. Anyway, we're starting to run out of time here, and we want to remind our listeners here of our workshops we've got coming up, both in Sacramento and in Walnut Creek. On Tuesday, August 25th, we're doing the 7 personal decision points for retirement transition, covering all the things that you need to think about as you go into in retirement transition. What's your income going to look like? How do you figure out how much income you're really going to need? What do you do as far as what kind of figuring out what your expenses are going to be, your taxes, insurance? So we cover all those various things. Tuesday, August 25th at 1 o'clock and 7 p.m. in Sacramento, the Citizen Hotel, downtown Sacramento. In Walnut Creek, August 26th, Wednesday, August 26th at both 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. at the Embassy Suites in Walnut Creek. You need to register. Go to moneymatters.com, website moneymatters.com. You can get more information on there, and you can register for the workshop, again, at moneymatters.com. So, unfortunately, we are out of time. We come to you every Saturday where we broadcast Hanson McLean's Money Matters, but you can also get a podcast of this program, moneymatters.com. While you're at Money Matters, you'll find there's lots of great tools and stuff in our library there to find topics that can be a benefit to you. So we'll see you next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. This has been Hanson McLean.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
Hi, everyone. This is John Coyne, producer of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Thanks for being one of our loyal podcast listeners. Did you know that you can still be on the show and have your financial questions answered? Simply go to moneymatters.com. Click on the big orange button that says Ask Scott and Pat a Question. I'll personally contact you and schedule a time to have you on one of our upcoming shows. We can't wait to help you.